Hey everyone,
clean my filthy glasses while you guys get in here. Tonight is going to be the Discovery Worksheet Lab. So if you're like, Corinne, the hell is that? It's super simple. We have an amazing Discovery Worksheet. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it and its purpose so that you guys can get familiar with that. And then this call will be very focused on all things overeating, which is like one of the things you guys talk about all the time, like, how do we quit overeating? How do we like get over ourselves? How do you break your patterns and all that kind of stuff? So we'll be covering a lot of that kind of stuff tonight. And I'm just going to tell you, I am in like total mode right now. I just spent an entire, well, I've been doing it for 2 days now. Head down, face first in the accountability rewrite. So I was just going to dust it off and all the things, and I got to read it and I was like, holy shit, like I got better things to teach this year. So it's getting a rewrite completely. And I finished the workbook today. It's amazeballs. Not only is the workbook where we are going to really focus on the one thing standing in your way from practicing self-accountability, because a lot of you will tell me, I need more self-accountability. No, you don't. You need to get rid of one key thing, and it's about self-talk. So it's basically a program that really focuses on dropping self-talk. So it will help a lot of you in like understanding how to go from like when you're using your Discovery Worksheet, it really works in tandem with this, how to remove the like the judgment and the shame from the process. So one of the things that we know that happens in weight loss is that when you're going to lose weight, you have to open yourself up to mistakes, things not working, figuring it out, patience, all kinds of amazing feelings that none of us like. Because every time we make a mistake, what it does is it triggers us to go into, this isn't going to work. I suck. Why does it, like, I always make the same mistakes. And we have our whole big ball of typical doo-doo habit whining that we do. Well, the self-accountability workshop is going to, for next month, is going to be all about how do you become more accountable to yourself? What is the key to do it? I've made it super simple. I've boiled it basically down to one thing. And then we just keep driving that one thing home. And then I give you three little steps to making sure that you can remove the judgment, remove the shame, and start learning how to start processing like every overeat, every time you go past your two. Guys, I'm just going to tell you right now, every one of you that are on this call, part of weight loss is like overeating. You have to overeat some stuff to understand what some of your patterns are. You have to like blow past your two to figure out what your two is. You have to sometimes eat before negative two to realize, oh, I'm eating before my negative two, so that you can get very keenly aware of your thought patterns and stuff. Just because I tell you to eat two to two doesn't mean that everything that you've ever done in the past magically disappears like Lucky Charms. That is not how it happens. So when you think about weight loss and when you think about doing this, you are asking yourself to on purpose do new things, mess up some, and keep going. That's weight loss. I am asking myself to on purpose set aside self-judgment. I am asking myself on purpose to learn how to make mistakes and recover. I am asking myself on purpose to be patient when I really want quick results. I am asking myself on purpose to practice patience for weight loss that works and sticks instead of just feeling better right now, even if it means I might not be able to do it for the long haul. So I'm going to like be just disappointed later. I just want to feel good for a little bit. And we do that in so many ways. We feel good for a little bit in quickie weight loss bullshit, and then we feel good for a little bit with a binge or an overeat. So it's like, I really think if there's like two skills that I can teach you guys, it's going to be like the art of being patient, because so many of you being patient is very uncomfortable, and the art of learning how to talk differently to yourself through the process of all of it. So when you do your discovery worksheets, guys, a lot of you have drama about it and you've never even looked at it first. So I just want to demystify it just a little bit. The purpose of the discovery worksheet is to help you strip away the extra language that you have around overeating. Because the only way that you're going to be able to really figure out what your patterns are, what are going to be the things you're going to try and the things that you're going to do, is you have to be willing to strip away language. Language like, I can't do it, I suck, I'm always going to be overweight, this is never going to work, all this other stuff. The other thing that the discovery worksheet does for you is it asks you questions that keeps you out of judgment and shame. So what most of you do is you have an overeat, you beat yourself up, and then you just don't do anything. It's like, well, I don't even want to make a plan because I think the plan makes me feel bad. I think the discovery worksheet makes me feel bad. What the discovery worksheet shows you is that the discovery worksheet doesn't make you feel anything. The language that you're using around your overeats and stuff, that's what makes you feel bad. So whatever sentences you choose to describe yourself, to describe your mistakes, to describe your process, to describe your future, to describe your past, to describe what you ate, all those things. Every sentence that you're choosing in that moment is what drives those feelings. So the discovery worksheet helps you strip so much of that language away. That's why I'm like, don't waste an overeat. Every overeat is an opportunity to practice stripping away judgment and shame so that you can get to the part where we're just solving, we're just solving, we're just solving. And then the other thing that it does is it teaches you that you never have to quit thinking negative things in order to do better. I don't care if you think negative shit every single day. I think negative shit about myself every single day. I don't need it to stop to feel better. I need to stop thinking it's true in order to feel better. I need to quit wishing it away so that I'm not fighting against my old language. I'm just like, oh, yeah, of course, I'm going to think something like that. That's okay. Or, oh, that's just old bullshit, I think. What am I supposed to, like, I forgot. What am I supposed to be believing about myself? What am I supposed to be reminding myself? Like, get busy over there. Get busy redirecting your brain. So what I find with the discovery worksheet is that because it helps you strip away so much of the language that most people, when they start doing it, they're like, oh my God. Like, I've never just, like, processed an overeat. I've always done the version where I beat the shit out of myself for a little while. I judge myself. I feel really terrible. And I think that's what figuring out what to do next is all about. That's called putting a pause on progress or going backward. So what you want to do is you want to allow your brain to throw all the shade up at you and then be like, oh, yeah. That's the part that's supposed to be happening, because the more I do these, the more I get really good at understanding what language I need to watch out for and strip away from now on. Okay. If you want coaching, raise your hand and I shall call on you. Tonight though, guys, it's all coaching about overeating and food. We're not coaching on our like work and all that kind of shit. It's got to be related to overeats and all the things. Okay. All right, Joan, you're first. And make sure you're not driving. I'm walking around to kill me. I didn't take Dramamine before the call. Joan, did you want to get coached? Joan? Am I guessing? No. All right, Melissa, you're up. Guys, if you've raised your hand, please look at your phones and look at your computers. Make sure that you want your hand raised, because sometimes you guys like butt dial me and then I call on you and we don't get you. Hey, Melissa.
Hi. Oh,
hi. Did that scare you?
No, my daughter's looking at me like, wait a minute, you're talking to her.
That's funny. What do you want that?
Oh, my kids love you. My kids love you.
Oh, I said, hey.
So she's like, she's here. Hi. So I just, here's my evidence. I'm going to be real about it.
Okay.
I just overate Doritos.
Okay.
for no good reason. And it, my don't husband just took my daughter. Reason.
That's such a lie.
It is a lie.
Why do you ever tell yourself that?
Well, because I'm sitting here going, why did I just down a bowl of Doritos?
Okay, like, no, not a bowl. Like, you didn't use an adjective, but you for sure had one running through your head. It's a bowl of Doritos. It's a circumstance. Yes. It's 8 bowl of Doritos. Why did you eat a bowl of Doritos? What were you wanting in the moment other than Doritos?
I'm thinking relief.
Okay, so that's a good reason. So don't say, the problem when we, guys, I want all of you to hear this. The problem when you say, for no good reason, you're lying to yourself. We always have that. It blocks you from knowing why.
Yeah.
That's the biggest like downfall that we have is that it's like, rather than judging yourself, like saying no good reason is like saying it's a judgment.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, it's a subtle judgment that we throw on ourselves. It's like just barely throwing ourselves under the bus. It's like saying the bus ran over my toe.
Yeah.
It didn't like drag me down the street, but it sure got my big toe. Still hurts. It'll have your ass
exactly.
Yeah. So we did it for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were looking for relief. What were we looking for relief from?
Oh, it's been, my daughter has the flu. I've been up since 2:30. I had to go. I had an observation at work today. I'm a teacher. So I had that done.
So
and
you
I'm
have
just
a lot
I'm
of
tired.
Circumstances, right?
Yes.
So all of that has nothing to do with why, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, and I said, what do you need relief for? You just gave me all the circumstances in your model.
Okay.
Flu. 2:30.
Yep.
Observation. What was the other one?
What else, Rosie? Flu, observation, tired.
2:30.
I think that was it.
Okay. So what do you think about all that? What's your thought?
That I need a nap? It's crap. That it's, I don't know.
Well, why
I mean,
don't you take a nap? Let's put it that way. Why'd you eat Doritos?
Well, well, and what sucks is that I
that's a judgment. Stop.
It's a judgment.
I'm gonna I'm gonna be hard on you. On
that's okay.
Reason. I want we're gonna be in like no judgment land next month. You guys are gonna like be like, oh. So we're gonna start working now on understanding every time we judge ourselves. So it's not crap. Okay. It's just we've ate Doritos. Shit.
I intentionally waited until my husband took my daughter to gymnastics.
Okay, that's fine. I don't care about that part.
Okay.
Here's what I care about. Why did you eat Doritos? And it wasn't all this. It's something you're thinking about all of this. So you were tired. A nap would have been good. You didn't do that. What are you thinking about your daughter having the flu, being up since 2:30, and having to do an observation? Like, give me like three things you think about that.
It's too much.
Okay.
I wish I didn't have to do it.
I wish I didn't have to do it.
Yeah, I just wish I didn't have to do it. Didn't have to deal with it. Didn't have to be up so early. Didn't have to have an observation. I just didn't want to do it.
Now, you're seeking relief, which is what the Doritos, once they're 8, provided. Okay. So, but that's not really the feeling that got you to eat the Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
That's what basically the model is going to be. The Doritos provided relief from my shitty thought.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It didn't provide any relief to the circumstance. This is really important. And this is why I want everybody to see it. So when you think, I wish I didn't have to do this, how do you feel?
Overwhelmed.
Right.
Tired.
Tired. But is that true?
Am I tired?
No. Do you really, I want you to really think about What a, that sentence, and how it's one of those things that we just kind of think like it's just true. But no, I really wish I didn't have to take care of my daughter. I really wish that I didn't get up at, what did you get up at 2:30 for?
She was tapping me on my face. She slept all day yesterday. So yeah. She wanted to go watch Frozen.
So you wish, so I want you to think about what I'm going to ask you. I wish my daughter didn't want me.
See, that's not true.
Right.
I do want her to want me.
Right, but you told yourself this all day long.
Yeah.
When she wanted you.
Yeah. And I wasn't with her. My husband was.
It's fine. It doesn't matter who was with her. Your thought is what wore you out. Not your daughter, not your husband, not you eating Doritos by your, none of, like, you keep trying, like I'm going to make this really worse. Like, I got to let you know, Corinne, this Dorito thing was a really bad thing that happened. And I'm going to keep subtly throwing myself under the bus. Like, I've now ran over 3 toes.
Yeah.
It's such a distraction from the real problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is not the Doritos and eating them by yourself and all that other kind of stuff. The problem is you sat around and allowed yourself to wish all day long that you didn't have a job and that your daughter doesn't want you and that you're not going to be there when she's sick, which is a lie because you chose all of it.
True. I did. I could have stayed home.
Well, here's the thing. You could have went to the observation and said, I'm the kind of person who shows up for a job, even when she's tired.
Yeah.
Instead of, I wish I wasn't here. This is too much.
Exactly. Because I showed up.
Mama. Yeah, and you gave yourself zero credit.
I do that a lot.
I know, because you've got 3 toes run over by the bus already.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to be in a walking cast. Tell me you're not doing DSB.
Well, I'm trying.
Well, you're going to have to quit. Like, you're going to get away from that bus.
The sick baby is considering my workout. Baby.
Stop. Listen to what you're saying. A sick baby will be the reason why I won't do DSB.
Well, no. I'm going to do it.
Why not just be with that? Just be like, I have a sick child, and guess what? I'm going to be the kind of person who still does DSB.
That's a better thought.
Mm-hmm. I think this is really good for you to know. It's like, this is the hardest. This is what you guys are really going to be learning a lot next month. It's called self-accountability, but it's basically like how to quit throwing yourself under the bus on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Is really start listening to your language.
Mm-hmm.
Around how you describe your life. It's like, I have a sick daughter and I wish I didn't have to do this. Or I have a sick daughter and we take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go to an observation today and I can do this while I'm tired. Or I have this observation today and I just, if it wasn't for this kid, if it wasn't for, you know, like, I wish I wasn't here. Like, that is what I call unnecessary suffering through weight loss. And unnecessary suffering gets us to eat Doritos.
Yes.
Like, circumstances never do that.
It's always the thought behind it.
Always. Eating is always on the action line. Feelings and thoughts 100% of the time proceed and eat, and nowhere in there is the thought is it's always the circumstance line. One of the things that helps weight loss is when you learn how to quit using the action line and blame it on your circumstance. It's never the circumstance's fault. And the more you guys really take ownership of that and you remind yourself, when you're wanting to blame a circumstance, Well, it can't be. So if it can't be the circumstance, what am I thinking about that that could be why I'm eating? Because I'm going to tell you, if you set yourself up late, you can be physically tired and not need Doritos.
Oh, yeah. I knew the whole time I didn't need Doritos. I kept telling myself, you can stop whenever you want.
Yeah.
You can stop whenever you want. As I'm filling the bowl, you can stop whenever you want.
So why are you judging yourself right now over that?
Because I've just been doing so well. And
one bowl of Doritos erased all of it?
No, not at all. But in my head, it's, oh, you're done. Why'd you do that for?
But that's the problem. The only thing that matters is what's happening in your head.
Yes. Well, that's why I'm here.
When I say one bowl of Doritos erases all of you're like, no, but let me tell you what really is going on here.
Yeah.
The but is what you're choosing to believe.
Okay.
Like, you're going to need to do this work. You're going to need to tell yourself, it's one bowl of Doritos. I get to make this mean everything about my weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
Or I get to move on to the next best decision. It'll be my choice, whichever one I want to do.
Less dramatic.
Yeah, y'all got to quit trying to be soap opera.
I know.
It's no fun for you. And yeah. Just think about it. In soap operas, people are always getting killed, cheated on, murdered.
It's true.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, I don't want to be that.
No. So let's just think about this. What did you learn of, like, I want you to think about this Doritos, because right now you have it like it's a stain on your humanity.
Yeah.
What has the Doritos taught you, though? Like, how can you be like, well, I'm fucking glad I ate those Doritos because I learned this.
I learned that I don't need to be dramatic about it, and that it's not going to hinder what I've already done since January.
Yeah, you get to recondition how you handle a mistake now. It gives you that opportunity to practice showing up in a different way. Because Don't you kind of think there'll be another bowl of Doritos?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's been lots of bowls of Doritos. I have like 25 discovery sheets in my planner. I mean, it's not.
And so now, now you know that because every time you eat Doritos from now on, you only have to do one thing. Just say like, you know what? I get to have the Doritos. I can stop when I want or I can eat them. I just want to know exactly why I'm eating them this time.
Yeah.
That's my next level up.
Okay.
The level up is not stopping Doritos. The level up is literally like, oh, okay. I got coached on Doritos. The next time I eat Doritos, I need to really just remind myself. It's not circumstances causing this. So if I can just like give myself 60 seconds, like let's make the bowl. Let's set them down, and then I'm going to take 60 seconds and decide what is it that the Doritos are going to, like, either solve right now, or what is it about me needing them that I just need to know? Your weight loss will happen a lot faster whether you eat them or not.
Yeah.
Because every single time you'll figure out more about your wants and desires behind things rather than saying, I don't even know why I ate them. Like, hell yeah, you do. They served no purpose. That was your original thought. These Doritos served no purpose.
They did.
1,000 purposes.
Yeah. Sorry. She's playing with a vacuum.
Okay. I can't even hear her. I just hear her.
Okay, good.
That's all I hear.
All I hear is her. And I'm like, oh, she's so loud.
No, you can barely hear her. So don't worry about it.
Okay, good. Sorry. She's an attention little seeker.
A lot like her mother.
What's so funny is that I don't think that about myself.
Except
but clearly,
you create a lot of drama to get your own attention.
Ain't that the shit? Like things you don't realize about yourself. And it's so funny because I have you on all the time. I got no get going, you know, second time around. Amazing Natalie, accountability partner. And we talk all day long. I never And yeah. I feel like I'm on top of my stuff, but clearly I'm not. So when I saw the email, that I got
another judgment. Clearly I'm not on top of things. It's not true. Clear. I think you're very on top of things. You're doing discovery worksheets. You've got an accountability. You just gave me all these reasons why you're on top of things. The biggest problem you have is you're in such judgment that you're wearing yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
And for all of you who are listening to me around the clock, one, I think I'm not going to tell you to stop doing that, but when you're listening, you need to pull out one thing you learn and immediately put it into action.
That's what I'm trying to do, especially with the no BS.
Just pick one. Like, don't pick all of them. Just pick one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you were going to pick one thing from this call, what is the one thing from this call that you can put into action moving forward?
Not blaming my circumstance, but really trying to figure out that thought.
Yes. That right there, so many of you will lose a lot of weight just doing that. You get so aware of yourself and you create so much relief for yourself in your thinking. It's like, if you're not blaming the circumstance anymore and you're like, realize like, ooh, I wish I didn't have to do this. And it's like, is that really true? Do I really want to like be thinking that? If it feels tiring, how do I want to be thinking about all this? Like, I can show up. That feels way better than I wish I didn't have to do this. That's like fighting it.
Yeah. I can show up and do it.
Or it's okay to be tired.
Yeah.
Like sometimes just acknowledging like, yeah, like flu 2:30 an observation. Of course I would be tired. That's normal. It's very different. That gives you relief from, I just wish I wasn't having to do this. It gives you relief from the fight.
Yeah. Because that was the fight all day.
Yeah. And when we fight all day long, our primal brain is naturally going to take over. It knows we're fighting. All it feels is cortisol and adrenaline. It has to solve for that problem. That was the purpose behind the Doritos. It's like, we really have to relax. She's not doing it for us. She's judging. She's wishing. She's fighting. She's like struggling in her mind. So we'll create faux sense of relief over here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not you being a bad person. You not getting it. It's not any of those other judgments. That's the next layer to draw. But it's really about my brain was working the way it was supposed to. So now all I have to do is really start working on how, like slowing down how I'm thinking about my life and how I'm thinking about my circumstances and my day and leveling up my thoughts a little bit. So that my primal brain doesn't have to be relied on so heavily.
Mm-hmm.
All primal brains love Doritos.
Exactly.
Actually, mine doesn't love a Dorito. Mine loves nachos or wine. My primal brain is like, let's go get wine.
And if I had a bottle open, that would have been it too.
There you go. So don't rely on them. Don't set them up to have to come out and play.
Yeah. And, it, you know, halfway through, I was like, that doesn't even taste good. That was the thought I had. And I just.
But I would just, like, I would just notice that. Just like, you know, it's good to know. So maybe next time I will stop. Who knows? But at least this time I noticed that it wouldn't taste good. I wonder how many times I've ate Doritos and never even had that thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get to find, like, I'm going to tell you, Melissa, you have a lot of progress that you are resistant to giving to yourself.
Yeah.
I want you to just notice when you watch this call, I want you to listen to yourself at how much you kind of, like I always call it, how much you're arguing for the things that are wrong with you versus acknowledging what is going right.
Mm-hmm.
And if you will, like, you know, it's easy for me to point out, because I'm just like, oh, well, I'm glad you noticed that because most people don't even, you know, they don't ever even notice if it tastes good. They're just busy tuning out at this point.
Yeah.
That's, to me, a step in the right direction.
I'm getting there.
Exactly.
I'm getting there. I mean, I've lost 10.2 pounds since December 1st or January 1st.
So you're doing amazing.
Thank you. And I feel like I'm doing amazing.
Good. Well, and that's where we want to keep you. Just like, yeah. Think about the flu, 230, and observation. What if you could have just all day long said, you know what? Of course I'm tired, but man, I'm doing amazing in my weight loss. If you've been thinking that all day, you think Doritos would have been calling your name?
Probably not,
you would have been like, you need to take this kid someplace because mama needs a nap.
Yeah, my husband took my older one to gymnastics. I'm like, I'll keep the little one. You take the big one.
Yes. Yeah. Divide and conquer.
Right? That's what we're trying to do.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you. That was a good call.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Bye, sweetheart.
Bye. Thank you.
All right, Danny.
Hello, Corinne. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing, Mama?
Very well. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to me. Okay. The very first day I joined the tribe on the 29th of December, you coached me. I'm delusional, Danny, and you prescribed a donut. So
you were the one, like, it was like you had just joined.
Yes. That morning. Let me grab my stuff. I put it behind me. I didn't know you'd take me. So let me grab it.
No, you're good.
So, thank you again. I have written a plan every single day since joining the tribe, with the exception of this weekend.
Okay.
And I lost my planner, to be honest with you, but that's no excuse because I still could have posted it to my girls in my accountability group on Facebook or done whatever. So I kind of controlled my eating and did okay, but still made probably not as good of choices as if I would have written it out. Well, I do have off-planet eats. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Okay. I do have off-plan eats, and I have quite a few discovery worksheets here. And the reason I popped on today is to ask for your help in how I can take the three things that I am committing to, and I always put that I'm committing to a 10. How can I put those into action? Because I'll put things down and I'll think in the moment after my overeat, okay, this is definitely doable. I can do these three things the next time I have this urge that I cave to, but then it happens and I don't.
Right, so tell me, is it the same three things over and over again?
No, I really think about it truly in the moment. One of the things that I struggle with is I will turn to a snack before I turn to a meal when I know I should turn to a meal simply because snacks are easier and more convenient. So I'll prep lunch.
Go ahead. So one of your patterns is you're eating a snack instead of a meal?
Yes. Yes.
And that's a problem because?
Then I'll eat the meal.
Because we're having an appetizer in the meal.
Yes. Yes. It may not be within an hour of each other, but it's within a couple hours of each other.
Well, what is the problem with that?
I think it's still overeating. So for instance,
tell me why you think it's overeating.
Because I'm not sure, I guess, where my negative two is. And where my plus two is still. That's something I'm still working on. Okay, so I don't necessarily.
Let me get some like facts from you so that then I can find your thinking around it and stuff. How much weight have you lost since you joined?
I'm sitting at 7.5 pounds.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out what the problem is.
My goal is 7 to 10 pounds a month, and that'll get me to goal weight, you know, in a year, which is 80 pounds, which I'm okay with. That's an awesome, you know, time.
That's about what I lost. Actually, I lost my year. So, you know.
Yeah. So I know that that's, you know, a good time frame. And,
what is the problem with the 7.5 pounds in January? Is there a problem with that?
No, not at all.
Okay. So we're okay with our weight loss. So why are you just like, maybe like say, all right, every single day I'm planning the snack. I'm going to eat the snack. I'm going to eat my lunch. I'm not going to make this a big deal. If I'm losing weight, it's obviously not a problem.
because I'm not being realistic. I guess that's what it is. I'm not being realistic. I have work drawer snacks, and they're snacks that are approved. And I'll write one or two on my
plan. What do you mean by I'm not being realistic?
Because it's not necessarily the snacks that I have decided for myself that are acceptable.
Give me something super specific. Like, tell me exactly what's happening. Like, you kind of like dancing around all of it. And I'm just like, I just want to know, like, the last time you did it, what'd you eat?
Okay. So today I had a mini Snickers bar.
Okay.
A mini bag of M&Ms and a little Danish, let's say, for the lack of a better word, like a little,
that
little
was our snack.
That was our snack.
Okay. And so let me ask you this. Was that on the plan or was that not on the plan?
Not on the plan.
Okay. And most days, is that representative of the snack that we're having?
No, not generally. No. Typically for snacks that I'll have something more like maybe a piece of fruit and a stick of cheese.
Why didn't
or
you have that today?
Maybe some, because I wanted junk.
Okay.
I had planning, a calling for sweet.
First of all, let's just say I just wanted this food.
No good food, not, no bad foods.
Yeah, like there's no, like it doesn't no help. Food, like no let me food. Ask you this. When you say I wanted junk, how do you feel?
Crap, because I don't want junk. I don't want to
no,
put
you do.
Junk in my
Stop
body.
Stop lying. We don't lie to ourselves anymore. Everyone, effing hear me. No more lying to ourselves. There is nothing wrong with saying, I want to eat a Snicker and I want to have some peanut M&Ms or I don't even remember what, and a Danish.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
Okay. We have to quit saying, because I don't want that. It's like, yeah, you do. You know how I know? Because you ate it.
Because so I ate
part
it.
Of you that wanted it. And we need to honor that part of us and quit acting like she's the bad one. We got to fix her. Got to get on this call. That girl keeping us from losing the weight. That's not what she's doing. There's nothing wrong with the version of you that wants to eat those things. Okay. So let me ask you, are you ever planning them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I will plan. I will plan for sweets. Yes.
Like those
not
things.
Deep.
Or like allow sweets.
Exactly. I'll put like movie night. I'll put popcorn and a sweet. And whether that be brownies from Domino's that my husband ordered or Good and Plenty's from the Dollar Tree that we got from movie night, whatever it is, okay. I will go with that. I am allowing myself that, but I don't think I'm allowing it probably as often as I should.
All right. There's no should. All right. There's like, do you want, this is the question. You have to start evaluating. Do you want to be the kind of person who is eating it a little more often while she's losing weight, which might mean you trade the rate at which you lose weight? Or do you really want to work on not having those foods because you prefer to lose your weight a little faster than eating those right now? And you would you're going to choose to work through wanting it, but just choosing not to have it. Because here's how you're doing it right now. You're doing it like this. I really want to lose my weight and there's foods I can't have. And so I'm really just trying not to eat those. And if Corinne can just help me figure out how to just stay away from all that and not like eat the bad foods, I think my world would be perfect.
Exactly. Can you just do that for me?
You got to choose the second side.
Okay.
You got to let go of your judgment of yourself. You got to let go of your judgment over the food. You got to let all of that part go. And we just get to the boring part. The boring part of it is, if you want to include these foods, let's include them. And if you don't, then on the days when you want them, instead of a cheese stick and fruit, this is when you remind yourself, this is the part that's going to be a little hard because I really want to eat the sweets. But I have planned for weight loss and I've planned this, and you have to have that kind of a conversation versus right now what you're doing is this bastardized version. Like, there's foods I should and shouldn't eat. Like, it's very tough in your world right now.
Yeah.
And that's why you just can't say no, guys. If you set yourself up to resist and willpower and deny and deprive versus setting yourself up to be like, it's boring. I'm just making choices. Yeah, I'm making a choice right now to like really want something and not have it because I'm going to like, I had decided for myself I wanted this. And it's okay to have a version of me that really wants Danish and cookies and all the things today.
Okay.
So let's decide which one do you honestly want to be? If anybody else calls sweets bad or something, I swear to God, you're going to be doing burpees in the chat. Betsy, be harder. Tell everybody, mandatory burpees or squats.
I want to be the person who could push past the urge. I want to be the person who can stick to my plan that I write with exceptions and joy foods limited. That's honestly who I want to be. I want to be able to achieve my weight loss faster. I want to be able to gain an athletic body. I want to be able to run in the Don't Stop Believe It. I want those things.
Okay. So, and it's, but here's what I need you to hold on to. You want those things. And there is a version of you who is going to want to eat these other things. And she's okay. And there's nothing wrong with her. And there's nothing wrong with wanting them. It's just going to take practice unwinding the desire for it. It doesn't mean the desire will go away. What it means is you're going to unwind the desire to have it, but you're still going to have the thoughts of wanting it probably for the rest of your life. If you're like me, you're going to want stuff for the rest of your life. You're just not going to care as much as you care right now.
Okay.
That's what we have to get to. So if you really want to be that person, I need to know what in your head do you think that's going to be like? Because your definition of what that process looks like and sounds like is going to tell us everything as to how successful you'll be. So let's do it this way.
Okay.
We're going to plan how many times a week do you want to have your sweets?
For myself, I think two.
Okay.
So two times.
Two planned times. That's very reasonable. Yes. I think that's great. The rest of the times, and you're going to, like, you need to pick when those times would be the most enjoyable. Listen to how I'm going to phrase things, okay? This is really important for everyone. I want her to think about when will it be most enjoyable for me versus when are going to be the only two times I can have them. Do you see how quickly we can drop into like, I only can have them these times. These are the times it's most enjoyable.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I kind of did that when you prescribed the donut because I was January was a pretty darn good month for me. I had overeats, but it was pretty darn good. And I was eating my donut on Friday. And then I realized on Saturday, my daughter was asking to get donuts. And I felt like, okay, eating a donut on my way to work after I weigh in Friday does not mean as much to me as eating a donut on Saturday morning with my daughter. I'm shoving it in my face because I just got on the scale and got a number. That's the wrong decision. So this week did not have my Friday treat, and Saturday morning my 10-year-old and I went to the donut shop and picked up donuts and I ate them intentionally and it felt good and I way enjoyed it more than shoving it in my face in the car on Friday. So I can do that, and I can do the Friday night movie. So I could do Friday night with the family, Saturday morning it's just she and I. So I can definitely do those two times.
So one thing that I will change in your vernacular is you said something about like Friday, like I won't have it or something along those lines. Remind yourself like, oh, I get to have it with my daughter tomorrow. Rather than, okay, we're not having it today because we're having it tomorrow. Do you notice like the subtle difference between we're not like, there's like an intensity behind we're not having it today because we're having it tomorrow versus I get to have it with my daughter tomorrow. And that's right. Going to be great. Like a lot of you guys, when it comes to like your food and including the foods that you want to include and stuff, the language in which you talk about it will determine how successful you'll be. So when you think about like this week, every day, you're probably going to want to eat the stuff that you're like, you know what? I forgot. I made this weekend way more important than right now. Of course I want to eat this right now. And that's okay because I've got this weekend to look forward to. It's really listening to how you're describing it.
That's a really good perspective to be in that intentionality of, why I'm making those choices rather than why I'm punishing myself from them.
Yeah, because from what we were talking about in the beginning, it goes back to, and I watch all of you do this, you set yourself up to lose weight by taking away from yourself. And you're taking away the very things that you absolutely do want. And you try to tell yourself, I don't want those things. And your mind's like, no, we do. Really, we do. I'm telling you right now, we really do. And it just doesn't mash.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because I want to be that second person, that person who does kind of attempt weight loss at a quicker pace and really, really limits, doesn't limit, but chooses, makes the choice intentionally as to when to have joy or exception foods.
How about the person who's including it? How about rather than like
including it? That's great. That's a good, yeah.
I'm the kind of person including who weight while including foods she loves.
Those things. What do I do on a Wednesday when pushing past the urge and really kind of fighting that. And no matter how many times I tell myself, okay, you're choosing to have the opportunity with your family instead of by yourself right now. What are the strategies that I can really do in that moment to push past that?
What is the language in the moment that you're saying right now?
I get to
right now. It's a lot of pushing, fighting. Like if your action line, I'm going to tell you right now. So we've got urge up here. We're going to put urge in the C line. And we're going to put our actions are fighting, resisting. What's your thought about this urge?
I really want it right now, but
no,
no. Let me rephrase that.
About having an urge.
It's horrible. I shouldn't be that. I want to be. It's horrible. That's not who I want to be. I don't want to have this urge.
I don't want to have this urge. I just got through telling you that you're going to have.
It's never going to go away.
All the way through maintenance and beyond. When you're sexy fit and running the DSB, like naked or whatever it is you have in your brain is going on. All of it. You'll probably run through the finish line and be like, and I'm having an urge.
Okay. It's just going to be there.
No, they are going to be there. The only reason why you don't want them to be there is because you think they're horrible. I don't think urges are horrible. So I don't need to fight them and resist them and wish them away. I think they're normal.
Okay.
I think they make me a thin person.
How?
Because thin people have urges.
Okay.
You know what they do? They think they're normal. And you know what? Sometimes they do. They're like, oh, I would love to have a bite of something. I'm done. Rather than be like, oh my God, this is horrible. I really hope I don't eat. Let me look at my drawer real quick. Oh my God, why am I having this? I'm going to be fat the rest of my life if I keep having these urges. The next thing you know, you're like, I just need to eat. I'll start tomorrow. I'll sacrifice my donut on Saturday. That's how we get into that. It has nothing to do with the urge, ever.
Okay. Skinny people have urges too. I can push past
them. All the time. Every thin friend of mine has urges. Every naturally thin, Chris has urges. Chris has never had a weight issue. My son has urges. He's 17. He's about this big.
Yeah, urges are hard for me because I have this phrase in my brain that tells me everyone else has the ability to tell you no. Everyone else has the ability to tell you, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. I'm the only person who can always tell myself yes. So I've been working on changing that when I'm having an urge to go, I can say yes to the urge and eat, or I can say yes to my goals. And that's how I'm trying to change it.
You know, you also get to tell yourself no.
I know, but I don't want to tell myself no. And I need to learn to do so.
But why would you not want to tell yourself no? It's the best answer you could give yourself. It's the most compassionate and loving thing you can do.
It's my thoughts about it, I guess.
Right. And that's... It's this whole idea. Everyone, we ain't got time to coach on this, but you need to get on a coaching call about this one. This whole idea, everyone can tell me no. Everyone in the world has sentences. And then you have thoughts about those. And whatever your thoughts are, when people are telling you no, is where you really need to do your work, because you're using food to compensate for not working on that. I'm going to tell you, work on that. These urges are going to be very easy.
Wow. Okay. I will jump on the next open coaching hours and
address that. I believe it's tomorrow night with Kathy Hartman at 5 p.m.
3 p.m. my time. It's on my... Hey, you know what? I subscribe to the calendar through the first 60.
So. There you go. You're ready. No, seriously.
So it will pop up on my phone. You know what? That's huge. That's huge for me because I do not like to be told no. Do not like it. I don't like anybody to tell me no.
Well, it's no wonder why you're eating, because in order to get through urges, you have to be willing to tell yourself no.
And there's something so negative in me.
Loving thing you could do.
Okay.
Like, that's what I want you to start practicing just in your head. Even if you, for some reason, you missed the call. Once you start praying, like, you know what? Here, like, this will be a good journal exercise for you. Saying no to myself is compassionate for these reasons. It's loving because of these reasons. Here's the loving way I tell myself no. Here's the easiest way to tell myself no. The benefits of telling myself no. Like, really write about how, like, change the script you have about the relationship you have with telling yourself, like, no, like, I know we want it. But you know what? We got our daughter. We got a life to live. And we got, like, probably 5 minutes of wanting this for a lifetime of enjoying, like, other things that we're going to say yes to. This one's a no.
Okay. That's a good exercise for me. I will do the homework.
The other thing I would do too, just as an action line item, you're talking about the urges. I have an urge meditation on the website. Listen to that when you have an urge.
Okay. That's the one where you're lying. I think you're lying down and you're focusing on all your body parts.
There's several. There's one you can do. You don't even have, and if you can't lay down, don't worry about it. Here, I'll look it up and tell you exactly what it's called.
Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome. It's guys, if you go to pnptribe.com, bonus courses and worksheets, you'll scroll all the way down. There's one called Kick-Ass Affirmation.
I have that on my phone. I play it.
And then there is the urge meditation, but don't lay down. Just, like, sit up through it. And I want to say, Betsy, did we not have another one that I did, or is that the only one? For some reason, Betsy, I remember in the first 60, I did something else. So just go to pnptribe.com, guys. Everybody's asking where it's at. It's pnptribe.com/worksheets-2020, and you'll find everything there. And I do have another one that I did that for the first 60. That Betsy's going to put in the resources part. She's going to put it on that page too. But that, like, okay. Listen to those. It's very helpful because it gets your mind off the food and gets your mind getting present. It gives you some space between the foods. And then what happens is your conscious brain is allowed to think the things you want. Here's what happens with the urges for all of you. You have an urge, and your primal brain takes over immediately. That's its job. It feels very panicked and worried. It's like, I need this food. For some reason, it just has decided it needs it, right? For a lot of us, we're not really good at just engaging our conscious brain on demand. I'm not even really good at it. Very often, what I have to do is I have to like say, okay, I'm just going to walk away for a few minutes. I'm going to do something else. And if I still want it, I'll come back. 9 times out of 10, I have practiced that enough till that works. 1 out of 10 times, I'm just like, you know what? That urge is still there. I still want it. But I'm just really honest about it. I don't sit there and argue with it. I don't say, like, I wish it wasn't here. It's just useless to wish it wasn't there. It's like it just stops you from working on it. All right. Such a good call. Every one of your calls.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, you're so good. You make them good. And I really appreciate the coaching and the time.
All right. Thank you, sweetie. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Betsy, give Kathy a heads up. She's coming tomorrow. I can't even read that. Deidre Nunez? I don't think it says Deidre, but we're going with Deidre.
It's Darla.
Darla. Oh, okay. Because it's like, y'all know me and my Mr. Magoo these days. I don't have my glasses on. My eyes are hurting today. I just got back from New Orleans and like, there's just something going on with it. Even wearing my glasses is bothering them.
I am trying to get my camera to come on.
It's okay. Just tell me what you want to get coached on while you're thinking about it.
Okay, well, I feel like maybe I might be wasting time because the first two people really covered a lot of the things that I've been thinking and was going through. So I.
All right, bye.
Yeah.
Well, tell me what you learned then and how you're going to apply it to your situation. Why don't we do that?
I'm sorry. I was trying to read the screen that tells me about the camera. And
it's okay. Just don't worry about your camera for now. Everybody okay. Look at me. All right, so tell me this. Like, tell me what you've learned and how you can apply it to you so that we can reinforce what you've picked up.
Okay, well, one of the biggest things that I was learning from this was that, knowing when you're having those urges. I mean, I went to a party this weekend and I knew full well that I was going to urge eat. But I told myself I was going to use the plate method of only putting on the plate what I wanted to eat.
Okay.
And that I was going to stop at that. And so then I even went into the bathroom after doing that. And I talked to myself and said, okay, you're done. And now you're done. You're done. You're done. You know, you're not going to go back out there and do it. Well, I just have to like preface this by saying I live in the state of Oregon and THC is completely legal and I'm choosing not to drink because I don't want the calories, which makes absolutely no sense when I tell you what I'm going to say, because
you're going to say THC and then like get the munchies.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and so that's not the only person to get
100% what happened. But the thing that was happening with it was that I like literally did feel hungry because by the time I did this, it was 10:30 at night. But while I was doing it the whole time, I'm shit talking myself that it was the wrong decision to be making because I knew that the drops were what was influencing me to do it when at home at 10:30 at night, I wouldn't have eaten. I would have just gone to bed.
Okay. So here's what did we learn from this experiment?
That I can't do the THC drops.
Did you learn? All right. Listen to how you said it. I can't do THC drops. How's that feel?
It feels like, I mean, part of me, it feels like I am not drinking because I don't want. The backstory is like last April, I did a weight management program through my work and it was very restrictive. And during that process and before the process, I was binge drinking, basically. And I decided that when I started this process, I wasn't going to drink anymore. And or that I wasn't going to drink while I was doing this process. Well, I told him I'll drink in October when I go to a wedding. I ended up drinking, but it wasn't very fun. And I like felt crappy the next day. And so I really have cut drinking out of my life.
Okay. So let me ask you this. How does it feel when I say, or when you think, I can't do THC drops?
It makes me feel like I'm like, like I'm an urge addict.
So
like, I can't,
but I want you to think about it. That's a judgment you have about yourself. Like you have this judgment that if I'm doing THC and I'm eating or whatever, I must be an urge addict. That's a whole nother model. I'm an urge addict. I just want you to think about this in a very like just first level. I can't do THC drops. How does that feel?
It feels shitty.
Shitty. Thank you. When we feel shitty, what do we do or not do?
We basically say F it and just do it anyways.
All right. So we're effing it. We're probably also thinking of other things we can't have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about, and you know, this is like silly and you might, I don't know. But like my friends and like someone else had discussed, and you know, you have these thin friends who can have these urges and eat them. And I have these two thin friends that they're identical twins and I've grown up with them. And they've always been these girls who can eat whatever they want, whenever they want. But then I had a realization last weekend when I spent some time with her and we discussed it, because I told her what I'm doing. And I've told her about this thought work that I've been doing and that I've been really proud of myself with the journaling, because I'm not a journaler, and that it's been really helping me. And she goes, you know, I can't have that stuff at my house either. She goes, if I have this junk food at my house, she goes, I will eat it and it will make me feel like crap. So I don't have it in my house. And I like, and she told me, she goes, I stuck two cupcakes without anyone knowing I ate them. And I was just like, for me, it was like a little bit of an epiphany. Like, okay, other like thin people have this problem too.
And it's not even so much that thin people have this problem. You know what the ultimate lesson is? It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. When you're worrying and thinking and examining somebody else's eating patterns and stuff, guess who's thinking and eating patterns you're not thinking about?
My own.
Right. You're comparing yourself to someone that you don't even know what the hell they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a waste of time. She could have said, oh yeah, I have no problems. Oh my God, it's easy for me. Simplest thing ever. I can't even believe you have problems. Then you would have just felt like shit. Still, while not solving your own problem. That's why I don't want you guys looking at what everybody else is doing as if that somehow is helpful. Ever. The only time it's helpful if you're watching what someone else is doing is like, if you're watching me and you're being like, how did she do that? Let me try that. Go for it.
Yeah.
If it's like compelling and motivating and all that stuff, that's when we do it. But when we're comparing, we always feel like shit. We're always, the only reason why we compare is to look at and say like, am I wrong? Is there something wrong with me? When we're comparing to other people, it is a sure sign that you think something's wrong with you. That is why the human brain does that. It is a design element of our brain, of our primal brain. Our job is to try to see, do we fit in this tribe or not?
Right.
And the brain usually goes to work on how we don't fit in.
Yeah.
So just stop doing it. We don't need to worry about it anymore. We live in the modern day and age. The tribe's not kicking us out and making us starve on the outskirts while they're like having all the good berries while we are left with poisonous ones. All right. So I can't do the drops. I feel shitty. I do some effort stuff, or I ruminate about all the things that I can't do. I compare in despair. I start looking around to see if like other people have problems. That's that action line. And guess what your result is?
No weight loss for the week. Yeah. I don't know yet. I haven't heard it, but still, I mean.
And you deny yourself the ability to figure out what you can do is the result here.
Mm-hmm.
The problem isn't the THC drops and that, like, you should put those in for sure. It's how you're thinking about it. What you learned is not that you can't do THC drops. You learned you need to decide, are they worth it? If it means you have to have increased urges while your state of mind is not on its A game. That's what you really learned.
Mm-hmm.
Is that worth it? Is that going to get me where I want to go or not? You may decide THC every now and then, and I just need to make sure that I also plan my exception meal for right after. I don't get it before. I have to plan for after. You can do like a several things, but it's because you're going to be doing it from a place of awareness around it.
Right. Well, yeah, I appreciate that. That opened my eyes because I really was thinking that all those other things that everyone was saying in the last two calls were, answering a lot of my questions, because I feel like I'm definitely doing the work. And I have to say, I listened to a earlier podcast today of you I can't think of the name of it now, but it was from the last few days. And it was definitely one of those eye openers as well, is that I am starting to really realize my thought process when I am having the urges. And even though I may not stop myself from eating the stuff, I am being aware of how full I am and whether or not I want to continue. So I feel like I am making progress.
Oh, I'm going to tell all of you for sure you're making progress. It was just like when I was telling the other girl, and it's just like I'm going to tell you. Think about how much of your life you've spent not even caring how much you ate. Not even knowing if you were full. Not even knowing it was a problem. Like, you just thought the problem was you didn't have the right points or diet or whatever. This is the progress. This is why I want you guys practicing so much more patience, like slowing it down a little bit. Like when you were talking about, like, you know, you had your plate and you went to the bathroom. One of the things that I noticed that you didn't do, there was like two things you can add to your next time you're going to have like a party or something. Number one, when you went to the bathroom, you started immediately telling yourself all the things you couldn't have, rather than saying, you did really good with that plate. We made a plan and we executed like a boss.
You're right.
Lead with what went right. And then the second part of all of your plans, guys, when you were going to be like out in the world, you know, like at the vacations, at the parties and stuff, always have plans for when urges hit. Like, say it's, you know, there's going to be a point where I probably will want to eat more. There's going to be a point where somebody may come up to me and want me to eat more, and I'm going to want to do that. That's the normal part of me. Like, really understanding that's a very normal part of the process. And here's how I want to show up for myself. And here are the things I want to tell myself in that moment. And it can never, guys, never say, and it's because I can't have it. Let's just always stay with, you know, in that moment, I'm going to choose me.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the hardest part, is like saying that. I mean, when you're in it, the last thing you think is I'm choosing me, but at the same time, it's like afterwards, you're like, why didn't I choose me? You know?
Yeah. I will promise you that every time you do a discovery worksheet, and then every time you go into these situations with a plan of like, here's how I want to show up, here are the things I want to do, the more you do that, the more it gets into the conscious part of your brain. The reason why it's hard right now is because it's all brand new thinking.
Right.
It doesn't just pop up. Like, you're not going to hear it one time listening to me talk, do it one time, be like, well, that was easy. It just all fell into place. If it was that easy, oh my God, every woman in America would already be in PNP by now. It's not.
I like have like started, I mean, I got to the point where it's like, where it says the 20 or under in the no BS. And then your message was to start over and start listening to them again. And you can hear other things. And it was amazing because I took tons and tons of notes as I was doing those the no BS. And it was amazing how much more I picked up in some of the second ones that I've listened to over.
Yeah.
So
you hear it with that new mindset, which is, you know, once we've raised the level of awareness a little bit, you start hearing some more stuff and you practice that stuff for a while. And then the next time you listen and the next time you hear me say something, you're in another awareness level. and you hear it a little different that time. It's really going to come down to you guys practice more patience with yourself and don't be so scared to give yourself some credit.
Well, thank you for your coaching call.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. I'm going to do one more. I think I'll have you guys again on Sunday. Let me make sure. Oh, yeah. We got 2 hours on Sunday. My girls that came for the week in Nashville, they are getting a call. Queens Club's getting a call. Everybody's getting a call Sunday. Let's do one more. Let's go with Jen Shade. I like that name.
Oh, I think I'm muted. Hello.
Hello. Where's Nancy? Somebody said somebody convinced Nancy to raise her hand and she's not got her hand raised. I may stay around if Nancy raises her hand. Okay, let's go.
So I'm having a hard time when I start eating. Like so I've gotten to the place where I can not eat until I'm hungry for the most part. But I still have the moments when I have the food that I know I'm going past my plus two. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't feel like I know it until I do it, after the fact, until I feel it. Okay. So I'm just trying to kind of figure out what's the best way while I'm eating to kind of take a moment before I get to that, you know, 4 or 5, and I feel
well. Tell me crappy. What you try.
So I've tried putting it to the side for a minute.
Okay, and for 1 minute.
Probably about 1 minute.
All right. So have you tried 5?
No.
One way. What else have you tried?
Just trying to put everything away. So a lot of times, like during the day, especially when I'm at my job, I don't have time to take a lunch break.
Okay.
So I have to eat while I'm working.
Okay.
But I've tried to at least put it to the side for that 5 minutes and kind of like focus in and be like, are you really hungry right now? Or are you just trying to get this meal done?
So you can get back to work. What's the answer?
I'm trying to get this meal done so I can get back to work.
Okay. So if you stop and you just throw it away, mm-hmm. Have you tried that?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I guess I should.
I just want you to just take a guess. Like, you can be wrong. I just want to know what your brain tries to like reconcile when we ask that question.
Probably because I'm telling myself I need to finish this. Like, I've realized I have a thing around like eating what I spend money on.
Okay. So and now you know hard. Why you're not stopping.
Right.
Because it would be wasteful.
Yes. Yes.
Is it wasteful?
No, because if I eat it all and I don't need it all, then I'm just throwing it away in my stomach.
Yeah, you're throwing away your hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
Do you ever tell yourself that? Like, I'm going to finish, and this is going to cost me my hopes and dreams this week.
No.
Try that.
Yeah.
Then you'll be like, wow, this is an expensive meal. It costs way more than I ever imagined it costs.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good thing to try.
Here's another thing. So how much do you think your lunch costs? Like dollar, if you had to guess dollar wise, like what do you think the price is?
Probably about $12.
So are you cooking your food or eating out?
If I eat out, then it's $12. Okay. If I bring it from home, it's probably less than that because it's leftovers.
How often do you bring from home versus eat out?
It depends on the week. If I'm cooking more at home, then I'd probably bring 3 times a week.
So and let's just say you're going to eat out on the, like, the high end. Let's just get the dollar amount.
Like, how if many I ate out every day?
Yeah.
If I ate out every day, that'd be 5 days.
Do you sometimes eat out every day?
Yes.
Okay. So $60. Do you work more than 5 days a week?
No.
Okay. So is it, we're talking $60 for lunch?
Yeah.
And about how much do you need to throw away? If you were really going to be stopping at your two, like, where do you think you'd have to stop based on what you typically get? Halfway, three quarters?
Probably two thirds. Probably about two thirds.
All right. So what do you think is, what is two thirds of 60? 20?
20. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so good at math all of a sudden. I'm telling y'all, when it comes to money, I can do math. All right. So $20 a week, we're going to throw away to lose all of our weight for good. Did you do that trade?
Yeah.
All right. You got to start doing that. You got to just tell yourself, it costs me $20 a week to lose all the weight I want.
Yeah.
Have you thought about it like that?
Yeah, when you put it in that perspective, it's an easy choice.
It's a much better way of thinking about it than I'm wasting my money.
Yeah.
Like, God, you know, it's just, if that's cash. So we got 52 weeks. So I tell you what, if you want, you could just start eating from home and send me $1,000.40 for my advice. And you'll lose all the weight you want.
Yeah.
You can do the same thing with your food at home. You can really see how much you're hosing yourself up. How, like, really, what a price you're putting on everything that you really want on just some food.
Yeah.
That's how you get, like, real with it. It's all about the thoughts. It is not about, like, I don't really understand why I'm not stopping. You have no compelling reason to stop. You have a compelling reason to finish. It's so wasteful. It's costing me money. Like, I paid $12 for this, Corinne. And a lot of you do this. You build a lot of compelling reasons of why you should keep your overeating habit.
Mm-hmm.
And people will even say, well, I grew up poor, just like me. It's like, but are you poor now?
No. Nope.
So it's just something to unwind. So what, like, if you want to get to the point to where you just want to do some, like, say, like, you know what? My two is not hard to find. I know exactly where my two is. The hard part is reminding myself it's okay to not finish. That's the real truth. And allowing yourself to be with that part. So when you're with that, when you're like, the thought line becomes, I'm just working on telling myself it's okay to stop now. That's what I'm really working on. Then you can go to your same restaurants that you're paying the $12 and say, like, give me half in one container and give me half in another.
Then it's easier.
And then you don't have, like, then you just have to, like, have, you give yourself the natural pause. So, like, even if you want to go eat it, you still have to get up, go back, get it, and you're making a conscious decision to eat another $6 meal.
Yeah.
You break it up like that. And I will tell you, I have some girls in here who will say, like, I'm going to pay you $12, but I want you to give me 2/3 of the food. Because the value is in me losing my weight and eating to satisfied, not in how much you serve me based on what you are going to do on your money exchange.
Right. Right. Got it. Yep.
That was a good call. I love talking about wasting food. I'm going to tell you, because that's the one I worked on so much of my life. So, all right.
Thank
You're welcome. Bye. All right, Nancy, let's get you. Betsy, can you raise your hand? I'm going to promote you. Will you go into the Q&A and answer everyone's questions? If I eat my planned meals, I'm not hungry for a snack. So when can I have something? When you get hungry. We always eat when we're hungry. All right, Betsy, I'll promote you. I don't know if I promote you to panelists. It looks like that's what I do. If I'm doing it wrong, Betsy, just let me know. I think you can go in and do the stuff. We'll leave you uncovered. All right, Nancy, you're up. And I don't know if y'all can hear, but Lucy is having a literal stroke on the other side of the door right now.
Hi.
Can you hear my cat? I can't tell if y'all can hear, but she's on the other side like, wow.
I think my dogs just heard your doorbell ring, so they are going crazy. So
okay. Well, that's actually my cat, not even the doorbell.
Oh, well, those are my dogs.
All right, so what was
the whole call, and then all of a sudden I get on and they're loud. Okay, so I have gotten really, really good at filling out discovery worksheets.
Okay.
And I figured out that most of the problems when I have with overeating or eating fast to or eating off plan are usually at work, or when I'm out with friends, like at a bar or restaurant or something.
Okay.
I have a plan. I'm ready to go into it. I feel like I'm prepared. And then I know it's a choice, but it just so feels like it's not sometimes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just,
so I
want. But here's the thing to remember. It's always a choice. Uh-huh. It happens fast.
True.
Like allow your brain to not like fight. Like, yeah, but man, I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't feel real choicey on this side.
True.
Just be like, it's always a choice, but right now the process is just happening really fast.
Okay.
So your job then becomes figuring out how to slow that part down. Your brain can go to work on it if it's not like arguing, well, it's not really a choice. It's really not a choice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I printed out a bunch of the pre-urge worksheets, and I keep those at my desk at work. And I'm trying to get better about filling those out when I feel it happening.
So what's triggering it?
I'm not totally sure. So I'm an occupational therapist. I don't know if it's partly because of kind of like you've talked about before with like having set meal times at work. Like there's certain parts of the day where I'm allotted to have time to eat or do what I need to do. So I don't know if it's partly of that.
Give me your recent urge experience in detail. Like what happened? When's the last one and what happened?
All right. So the last one was Chex Mix. So it was homemade Chex Mix. So one of our
at the 6 day, that was a very popular one. I gave them all their binge foods to live with. Uh-huh. Chex Mix was a big one.
I believe it. It was homemade Chex Mix. Makes amazing Chex Mix. But it's like, so it's there in the morning when I get there. And all morning, I'm like, I'm good. I'm not even going to go in the, because they put it in the scheduling room.
Okay.
And so I'm like, I'm not going to go in there. I don't need it. Not on my plan. Not in my mouth. Not on my ass. Like channeling Coach MJ, you know. And then as the day goes on and it gets closer to lunch, it's like, well, it's there though, you know, and you like see other people eating it and it's like, they're not worried about how much they're eating. And I don't know. And it's
maybe
just,
they are, maybe they're like you, very worried about how much they're eating and finally just having Chex Mix.
Yeah. Possible. But yeah. And then usually when it happens to me, it's like literally I walk to the refrigerator, I put my lunch in the microwave for 3 minutes or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, while my lunch is cooking, which I literally have 3 minutes to wait for it, I go and grab some Chex Mix.
All right. So
because I'm like, oh, it's lunchtime.
What have been your plans for the 3 minutes so far?
So I've tried gum, tried to chew some gum, but then it's harder to eat my lunch because I don't really want the lunch as much because I've got the gum taste in my mouth. I need to get better. One of the things I listed was to take a picture of my daily plan on my phone and keep that with me and like really look back at it.
Okay, I've heard a lot of actions, but I've not heard one thing about how you're going to think during the 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess like my plan for what I want to be able to think.
The plan, so here's what I would do. This one's a solve that's super easy. Number one, you already know the first part of the day, you start arguing with Chex Mix.
Start
arguing with the urge. Like, we're not having that. That's not on our plan. Like, it's all that talk.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to decide, does that feel empowering or disempowering? Does it feel like fighting? Or does it feel like taking control? Like MJ probably is like champion.
Yeah.
Like if that's the feeling, keep using it. But the one thing that makes me suspect that it's working for you is that it's morphing into a whole different conversation.
Yeah.
It's like it's wearing you out, not invigorating you. So it's like Kathy is never going to sit around and have the same thoughts about urges that Corinne is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me and MJ are going to just be like, fuck no, not having that. We didn't plan that shit. Like, we just feel like a baller when we talk like that. Some of you, like, when you think that, you feel like, okay, I'm braced for the fight.
Yeah.
Which one are you?
Probably the second one.
Okay, so the way we know is we take a look at the thoughts and we always ask, how does thinking that make me feel? If it's not giving you energy, then it's probably not going to be a thought that's useful for you. So it needs to be coming up with, how do I want to be thinking about urges today? I'm probably going to want to eat things because I have been eating things and that's okay.
Right.
So how do I want to, like, how do I want to feel around Chex Mix? How do I want to feel when I'm having an urge? Usually leading by the feeling line first will allow you to figure out thoughts that will be useful for you. So what would be useful, you think?
I like the empowered, in control, something like that. But I just need to change my thought to show that feeling.
Yeah. Thoughts always lead to feelings.
Well, why do you make it sound so easy?
Because here's the thing. What's going to happen is you're going to go tomorrow. And you're really going to want to eat Chex Mix again. There will always be something, right?
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah.
So what are your thoughts about that? There'll always be something. We'll just put that one in the C line.
My current thought about that, my unintentional thought.
That's the one. We want the one you're actually going to.
Is that that's terrifying.
That's terrifying.
Because how can I resist something all the time?
The problem is because you think that resistance is the way that you do it.
Yeah.
Resistance is exhausting.
It is.
That's why you give into it. That's why all day long your language starts changing. It's like, I'm tired of fighting. I've been fighting all morning. Everybody else is eating it. They look like they're having a good time. I must be the only person who ever thinks about Chex Mix. That's some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have 3 minutes to stand around idle without work to do. And all you've got left is being depleted from thinking about Chex Mix all day long in a way that has you fighting it.
Yeah.
That's why it backfires on you.
Mm-hmm.
So to even have a 3-minute strategy, you've got to have a better conversation with yourself around there always will be urges.
Yeah.
We'll just put there'll always be food and urges. all of you need to have this model and you all need to be working on it. I would work on this in the Facebook group. Let's have a big ass conversation going on over there because this is a problem. Your thought is that's terrifying. Our other person said that's horrible.
Yeah.
You know what this is? Life. Something to solve.
Yeah. Okay. Well.
I wonder if she hears my cat. She's moved to this door now.
She might.
Which is amazing. So I really want you to be thinking about, like, you know, like this Chex Mix thing.
Yeah.
Like all day long. What if you just spent like every time your brain went to Chex Mix, rather than fighting, saying we're not having that, and you know, it's like it's not going on my ass and stuff. If that's not working, what if you thought, you know, it's normal to want Chex Mix?
Mm-hmm.
It tastes good. That's why I want it. It's not a big deal. It's not on my plan today, and that's okay. Maybe I'll plan for it tomorrow.
Well, yeah. I even tried that once, yeah. And I took a cup of it.
Yeah.
And then I put it next to my desk and then ended up eating it by the end of the day.
But you planned for it. Isn't that kind of what you're supposed to have happen?
Well, I said I would plan for it the next day. So I was saving it for the next day and then ended up eating it that day, if that makes sense.
Okay. So that's one strategy that doesn't work. So the next time you plan for it the next day and you go get your cup the next day.
Right. Right. Okay.
Just keep thinking of strategies and stop thinking about it being hard and resisting and all this other stuff. Everybody needs to clean their language. Anytime you're talking about urges, if you're using the word, I've got to fight them, they're so exhausting, I need to resist them, that's why you're going to have no authority over them.
Yeah. Okay.
We have urge calls too. Have you listened to any of them?
I haven't.
Listen to some of the, how long have you been in the tribe?
Just since January.
Okay. So we have some urge calls. Let me look up. If you go to the video replays.
Mm-hmm.
Betsy, do we not? Oh, we don't have it listed as urges. Let me hang on. Let me look underneath. I just typed in the search bar, urge.
Okay.
Hang on. My computer's taking dear sweet Jesus time. It's like going through like all 5,000 videos that we have. Yeah, we have the gift of fat that we did in December before you guys joined. I taught the 4 steps to handling urges. Mm-hmm. It's a call that's all about processing an urge. We have a lot of things on it. So you can go through there and look.
Okay.
There's a weekend motivator from last June called Sometimes You Just Have an Urge to Eat, and that's normal. So go listen to some of those. Just type in the search bar underneath video replays urge, and then you will find calls and listen to a few of them and find some different techniques that might work.
Okay.
But really come up with the relationship you want to have with your urges. Like, we don't want to be fighting it and resisting it and doing all that kind of stuff. Be like, you know what? I want to coexist. I want to live with it.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for raising your hand.
Thank you for calling on me and staying late for me.
No problem. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
For some reason, whatever I did with Betsy wasn't able to get her to answer some questions, but I think most of them got answered. Congratulations, Laura. If I want to plan a suite, when could I fit this in? My issue is when I eat my planned meals, I'm not hungry for a snack. So when can I have something? What I typically do is if I want something sweet, I just plan less of my planned meal so that I have room for my dessert or whatever I want. And this is the Discovery Worksheet Lab. And that was all the questions. All right, let me go let that damn cat in, y'all. Thank you so much, everyone. I hope you enjoy these calls. I love doing these calls because it gets us really focused on talking all things food. So I hope you guys love them. If you did, here's what I want everyone to do. I think these calls are so majorly important for our tribe. If you learned something today, I want, even if you're listening to the replay, I want you to go over to the tribe in the Facebook group and type up one thing you learned. And if somebody starts a thread and you see someone else did, you just add to their thread. But think, I want you to, like, what is the one thing you learned that you're going to apply? And let's get a really good discussion going on over there around it. All right, guys, y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.